This afternoon for Springfield Speak segment, we have a very interesting topic. The committee CTCR, Commission on Theology and Church Relations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And here in Springfield at Concordia Theological Seminary, we have three professors that are deeply involved in this committee. Dr. Robert Preuss, the president of the institution, Dr. Howard Tepker, the academic dean, and Dr. Henry Agolt, the director of placement. And I have with me Stephen Hauser, a SEM4 student, and I'm Professor Dale Hartman. And we'd like to begin right away. Dr. Agolt, can you tell us a little bit about the historical background of the CTCR and Missouri Synod?
Well, the CTCR was organized about 12 years ago, and its purpose was to provide a forum for discussing problems as they arose within the church of a doctrinal or ethical nature.
How were these problems taken care of prior to this time?
Well, prior to this time, each of our faculties was approached to give a faculty opinion on the matter, but it was deemed advisable to establish the Commission on Theology and Church Relations in order to provide a broad forum within the church for the discussion of these matters. For instance, the CTCR is composed not only of professors, but it's composed also of laymen of the church, pastors, and teachers. There are 25 members elected to the
CTCR. How are these members chosen?
Some of them are elected at the biennial meetings of the Synod. The professors are elected by their fellow faculty members, and some are appointments of the synodical president.
Well, Dr. Agolt, how do you see the role of the CTR and Synod right at this time? It's has a rather interesting background the last year or so in the statements that it's issued and the work that it's done. How do you see its relationship to Synod right now?
Well, I'd like to think that the CTCR can give a lot of guidance to the church on the various theological and ethical questions that do arise. And I think that it has performed that function quite admirably over the last decade, and I hope it'll continue to do so.
Now, the CTCR is divided, as I understand it, into several committees. What is your role in one of those committees?
Well, I happen to be at the present time chairman of the executive committee, and the function of the executive committee on the CTCR is to take the topics that are suggested to us mainly as a result of resolutions to the synodical convention and to funnel these topics to one of three committees: the Church Committee on Church Relations, the Committee on Biblical and Theological Studies, and the Committee on Church and Society. So the CTCR divides itself into three committees, and each of these handles specific aspects of the total program of the CTCR.
Okay, speaking of number three, Dr. Tepker, you're affiliated with the committee number three. What does that deal with?
Yeah, committee number three has as its purpose to deal with topics that are related to the church and society.
Now, specifically, what might be a typical example, for example?
Perhaps the topic and the paper that we are most deeply involved in at the present time is the paper that has the title, The Charismatic Movement in the Lutheran Church, Pastoral Guidelines. Of course, in 1972, the Commission on Theology produced a larger document that was called the Charismatic Movement and Lutheran Theology. This was a more, it was a study of the passages in Scripture, a study of the Charismatic Movement, and it attempted, of course, to point to various problems as we saw them in the Charismatic Movement. Now, as soon as we had produced that document, the president of Synod plus pastors out in the church asked for specific guidelines, how they as pastors and how the district presidents might deal with individual cases where the charismatic movement had caused friction had caused.
Right at the grassroots level.
That's right. That's right. And now we're at the point where we're beginning to formalize these guidelines.
Dr. Preuss, you have a committee that you're affiliated with, I understand.
Yeah, mine is Committee 2, dealing with primarily biblical theology, exegesis, and doctrine. We attempt to answer many of the theological questions, cope with some of the theological problems that confront our church and the church generally. I don't know just how many statements we've gotten out in the past, because I'm a little newer to this CTCR than my brethren here, but I imagine most of our work has been done in this area.
In the area of theology.
Particularly in the area of Scripture. We've put out in the past
the Bible itself.
Things on the inerrancy of Scripture, the doctrine of Revelation, the interpretation of Scripture, the inspiration of Scripture. I think they've been very useful over the past, and we intend to get out many more such papers in the future. Now, some of them will be possibly submitted to the Synod for adoption. We feel that seriously about these papers. Others will simply be sent out to the Synod for study. And, for instance, we have a very interesting one that we just discussed. One of our men here at this faculty actually wrote it, by Dr. Scare, on an interpretation of Genesis 1 through 3. It's been a kind of a difficult passage over the years in our circles, been a lot of disagreement, and I think that this thing will give a lot of light on that particular passage. And it's written in such a way that lay people, as well as pastors, can understand perfectly. No Hebrew words or anything.
Now, speaking of the laity, I'm just curious, as a layman, how would I perhaps respond to some of these things? I guess the question I'm asking, what has been the laity's response to the CTCR documents? Have you gotten very much feedback on your committees?
I think I'd almost have to defer to my colleagues here on that. Let me answer it a little bit. And this might be of interest to our radio audience. You'll recall that a statement of scriptural and confessional principles was adopted by our synod at its last convention. Now, this statement was to try to isolate what the problems are facing our synod of a doctrinal nature and to answer these problems. It was adopted, but many people in the synod didn't like every aspect of that statement. So opportunity was provided that their complaints and their suggestions for improvement and so forth were to be funneled through the CTCR. And it's very interesting that many of these criticisms, suggestions, have come in by lay people. So it does seem that our work has been of some value to the lay people, and we've tried to stay away from technical terms and things like that.
Dr. Eagle.
The fact of the matter is we invite that kind of criticism of the papers we produce. When we produce a paper, we send it out to the church for study. And that study is to take place prior to the time that it is adopted for reference and guidance by the meeting of the biennial meeting of the Synod. In other words, we're asking for a response, and we do get quite a number of questions of clarifications once in a while on the basis of these. If it's a substantial point, we'll say we weren't clear enough in the document, we're going to rewrite this. Oh, yes, that has happened. And then we send out clarifications to the church on these particular points.
So you're willing to reconsider?
Oh, sure.
Dr. Tepper.
Yeah. I believe, too, that whenever we ask the question, to what extent do the layman become involved with these documents, a lot depends upon just what the documents are dealing with.
Certainly.
For instance, let me go back just a moment to the document that I mentioned a little while ago, the Charismatic Movement in the Lutheran Church, or the Charismatic Movement in Lutheran Theology. Now, that at the beginning was put out in about 30,000 copies, which meant that this was circulated not only to the pastors of synod, but also to leaders within the church. Now, in many cases, the pastors would use that document use that as a booklet in their Bible classes. Now, originally it was not written for that purpose.
That was not its intention.
That was not its intention, but it was used for that purpose, which indicates to me that there is interest in many of these documents, interest on the part of the layman.
Dr. Preuss?
Yeah, another example of this is the document we got out, I think, about 2 years ago on abortion. This has been used throughout our church in Bible classes, men's clubs, and so forth.
What's been the response in
hundreds
Bible classes?
Hundreds of thousands of our Missouri Synod people have studied that particular document. I think the response was very good. We discussed the matter of abortion from a medical, a legal, and a biblical point of view. And we had experts in each area writing up each section. And it's very interesting out in the field when you find lay people who happen to be lawyers and doctors, you know, discussing this particular issue. And again, I think that we did an admirable job because we had experts writing the thing.
Well, we've discussed some of the recent studies. Are there any others that we haven't covered yet that might merit mention? Dr. Tepker.
I think we might mention the document that actually appeared in print in January out of our committee, and that was the document entitled The Mission of the Christian Church in the World. Now, perhaps I ought to give you just a little bit of history here. You may remember that in 1965 at the convention in Detroit, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod adopted what was then known as the Mission Affirmations.
Yes.
Now, these were very popular, and yet at the same time it seemed as though almost from the beginning they were controversial. It seemed at the time that they were being read perhaps in different ways, understood in different ways. And so for that reason, the request was made of the Commission on Theology that we study these mission affirmation for two purposes. The one was to clarify those various parts which appeared to be ambiguous, and then also to supplement the document wherever it was needed in view of recent developments within the church. And it was from those two points of view that this review of the mission affirmations was drawn up. Now, we don't know as yet just how this document will be received. It's still too new, but I believe that there is interest in this document.
When a topic comes up to the CTCR, is there some methodology whereby a minority opinion can be expressed, such as like on a Supreme Court decision? I assume there's not complete agreement on everything you talk about. Is that correct?
We have had several documents on which there have been minority reports, and the minority reports are published in the workbook for the Synodical Convention together with the document.
In the regular Synodical reports. I've seen some of them there, yes. So in other words, the CTCR is not always unanimous as far as its vote is concerned.
No, we try to be. We work on a paper very hard, and when there is dissent within the commission on a substantive point, and it's a matter of language, of course, then we try to clarify the language so that the document itself can be understood by any reasonable person.
I see. Well, let's. I don't think we've brought this up yet. What about the membership? How many laymen over against profs or pastors are there? What's the composition?
Well, you're asking me a more difficult question than I am prepared to answer at the moment. But I would say that there's a rather fair distribution among the profs. There are, as a matter of fact, six laymen, seven pastors, and eight theological professors. So I think that's a pretty fair representation.
How are these people chosen? You mentioned that some were selected. Maybe a better question would be, how long is your tenure on the committee? Is this a lifetime proposition, or is this something that's renewed?
Well, sometimes it seems so, but it's really only a renewable four-year tenure.
So then it'd be a maximum of 8 years.
Then you must remove yourself from the commission. Yeah.
Well, now, you've been on the committee 10 years, correct?
10 years.
What sort of continuity is there as you watch people coming and going? Is there a difficulty when, let's say, two or three men that have been working on a project find that their 8 years or their 10 years is suddenly concluded? Or does a project that's in the works find a smooth transition with new members?
Reasonably so. We haven't experienced any great difficulty with it. Once in a while, if a person has become an authority on a particular subject as a result of some work he's been doing, retain him as an advisor on that project.
Let me give you a sample, if I may. Let's take something that's coming up, which would be the question of euthanasia. How does that come before your committee? How do you deal with it? Do you channel it? What sort of preliminary work do you do with it? I guess the question would be, what sort of steps do you go through on the CTCR before a finished document is ready for the Synod?
Well, the first thing that happens is that we got a request to investigate a certain subject, and that generally comes through a synodical convention. And then we farm it out to one of our three committees. Now, you ask about euthanasia. As a subcommittee of the Church and Society Committee, we have a committee on social concerns, and that social concerns committee happens to be working at the present time on the euthanasia question. Now, we try to find someone of competence in the area to work on a particular paper. We may have a writer for the original paper, and the paper then is brought, like, for instance, the euthanasia paper. We had a writer for that, and we said, you write us a paper, bring it to our social concerns committee, and we discussed it at our last social concerns committee meeting. Now, that paper, having passed through the social concerns committee, will go to the Church and Society Committee to be reviewed again before it will be presented to the plenary. After you're on the commission a little while, you know that your first writing is never going to be accepted. Some of these documents are written over 3, 4, and 5 times before they are finally accepted by the plenary of the CTCR.
On the whole, how long would you say it takes an average topic to be processed by the CTCR?
Well, within a biennium, we try to take care of the major topics that have been raised by the previous convention. We're facing our convention now at Anaheim, and I think our track record for this biennium is going to be pretty good. We have the major items taken care of.
So what you're saying, a lot of thought goes into the final product that comes out of the CTCR in printed form.
Sure.
Dr. Tepker.
I would like to go back just a few moments to one of the questions that was brought up a little while ago that with regard to what happens if a man who is working on a project, what happens if his tenure should be over, well, and find him in the middle of that paper. Actually, this reminds me of the fact that we do not do all of this writing ourselves. We farm out a lot of this. We have men from this faculty here
as resource personnel,
as well as from the seminary at St. Louis that serve as resource people. I think it would be utterly impossible for us to become expert in all of these areas. And so we feel free to call upon other men to assist us when it comes to the writing of these documents.
In terms of actually doing the work, how often do you meet as a commission or a committee, and how long does a meeting last?
We meet 4 to 5 times a year for a period of 2.5, 3 days each. And subcommittees meet in between times in their own meetings. So that represents quite a few days out of a year's time.
So the subcommittees could be meeting almost any time on their
That's
own,
right.
you're saying.
That's right.
What are some of the present topics that you're working on right now, for example?
Well, we have two on our Church and Society committee that we're trying to work at. One is the question of divorce and remarriage. And another one that we're working on is on communion practices within the Lutheran Church. These are two that we have. I imagine the other men have others that...
Yeah, we have a number of them really dealing with the historical critical method. A very good one was presented recently, which I think will probably be sent out just as a study document, nothing more, on inspiration and inerrancy. Another one, as I mentioned before, will be sent out in the same way, as an exegesis or an interpretation of Genesis 1, 2, 3. Now, these are not necessarily even accepted by every member of the commission.
They're sent out for study.
Study documents. Now, it doesn't mean, we're pretty fond of these things. We think they're good. But the point is that they're sent out to engage the entire church in study, and we feel that they're successful.
So they are not a pronouncement in any way, shape,
no,
or form.
No, and they're not probably ever going to be one. We don't even wish to see that goal. So we have different purposes as we prepare different types of documents to go out to church.
I'm just curious, how does the work of the CTCR relate to organizations, groups, and people outside of Missouri Synod? Have you gotten any response from them? What kind of feedback do you get? Do you go out for them in any way?
You mean in response to articles that we receive? Oh, yes. They get rather wide publicity outside of the church. And we do get feedback from those outside the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, sure, and we welcome that, too.
Do you ever respond or work with specific organizations like Lutheran Council of, or LACUSA, as it's known? Do we ever work jointly with them, or do they assign us things, or do we ask them to do things?
Yes, I can point to one of them, Dr. Kramer, who is a member of our faculty here, and I attended a committee supported and sponsored by LACUSA that dealt again with this charismatic movement within the Lutheran Church. We met in January at Dubuque, Iowa, at Wartburg Seminary. And here were gathered together Lutheran representatives from all three of the Lutheran bodies, and this was our major subject of consideration. Now, another meeting is coming up in April. If my memory serves me correctly, we will be meeting April 24th to the 28th, a continuation of the discussion on this very same subject. So there, some of these subjects are of a more general nature. Mm-hmm.
I think we should point out, too, that we have three dialogue teams that are engaged. One is engaged in dialogue with the Roman Catholics. Another is engaged in dialoguing with Reformed churches. And another is engaged in dialoguing with the Episcopal Church. So this is mainly the function of our Committee on Church Relations.
As far as, again, talking to the laity and a couple separate questions, do you ever have any spin-offs where a man will do some work on a topic and then maybe pursue that and print an article in one of our Missouri Synod journals or write a book that's published by CPH? Has that happened yet, where something will come directly out of the CTCR and be made available in an even more widespread way?
I don't think so. Years ago, I produced something which they didn't like, and then I published it. But by and large, these things are not signed. They are the property of the CTCR. And that's probably the reason why ordinarily this does not happen. Now, Dr. Tepker here has done a lot of writing for CTCR, but nobody knows it, except a few of us.
Unsigned articles.
Unsigned, but it represents the entire CTCR.
Eventually, when it comes out, it's the thinking of
right.
The CTCR.
And usually a person puts so much into one of these articles that there's not much more you can say in a book.
Along the same lines, talking again about the lay accessibility to these materials, is there a way that anybody could order or have access to these?
Yes, Concordia Publishing House is our publishing agent. And the documents that are produced by the CTCR are available through Concordia Publishing House. The fact of the matter is you can purchase a sample set of all of the CTCR documents that have been produced to date for the small sum of $3 by writing Concordia Publishing House.
Now, if I'm a layman and I want to plug in to the Commission on Theology and Church Relations, the CTCR, who do I write to? How do I get a hold of you, gentlemen?
Well, you shouldn't have any trouble. a layman way out there might have a little difficulty. All he has to do is to write to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, 500 North Broadway, St. Louis, Missouri, and I'm sure that his letter will be channeled to our Assistant Executive Secretary, Dr. Samuel Nasker.
Thank you very much. Well, this afternoon we had with us Dr. Robert Preuss, Dr. Howard Tepker, Dr. Henry Eggold. I'm Professor Dale Harpin, and the student interviewer was Stephen Hauser. We thank you very much and invite you to tune in again next month at this time for Springfield Speaks.